Father, as always, I thank you. I give you, Lord, the honor and the praise. Thank you for being here with us. We know that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. Cause that light, Lord, to shine in our hearts even this morning. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Amen and amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Praise the Lord. On this Faith Lab series that we've been doing the last couple of days, everything hinges upon the Word of God. And so I'm going to spend a few minutes this morning to talk about His Word. Now, we started out the Faith Lab series by telling you that faith, in order to be valid, must be based upon the Word of God. You can't just have faith in faith. You know, you have to have faith in the Word of God, because unless the Lord says so, it won't be so. We read that straight out of the book in Lamentation 3:37. Who is it that saith? And it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it. So everything has to be based on the Word of God. Again, we read in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20 that the Word of God is the litmus test or the final arbiter for everything. He said, look, to the law and to the testimony. That means go back to the Word. If anyone speaks not according to this Word, so you judge everything by the Word of God, it means there's no light in them. Don't even mess with it. Get away from it. Praise God. You know, if anyone stands up to speak in the name of the Lord and it's not according to the word of the Lord, get away from it. Because, you know, that influence, that negative influence will spread like wildfire. You know, when people begin to say little, Jesus called it a little leaven. Just take a little leaven, leavens the whole lump. You know, the kingdom of heaven, he said, is like a woman that took a measure of leaven and hid it in 3 measures of meal and mixed it all up until everything was leavened. You know, leaven is never a good thing. You know, that's the poison that comes by not speaking according to the word of God, the pure word of God, the whole and complete word of God. We can't take nothing from it and add nothing to it. Praise God. We speak it like he said it. You know, it's not the word of God is not by private interpretation. That's what the scripture says. Unfortunately, we have made it in the church today of private interpretation. Everybody has their own interpretation of what the word of God says. No, the word of God is not by private interpretation. Holy men of God that were moved by the Holy Spirit, they wrote this thing. And the only way you're going to get it, the only way you're going to understand it, is also by the Holy Spirit. But you must say it like he said it. Praise God. And when we do that, here is what happens. That's the lesson I want to give today. And then we're going to do a review and open mic. But first, let me say this, that when we know how to use the word of God right, the word of God is self-sustaining. That's right. It will sustain itself and it will prevail over every situation. That's the word of God. You know, in the book of Acts, in the early church, we saw how the word of God, the scripture says that it grew. How can the word of God grow? Not only did it grow, it was multiplied. And not only did it multiply, it actually prevailed. Well, those scriptures did not go into details of what it means. But let's try to go into the details of what that means this morning. You know, it just says to us, without going into too much detail, you know, that the word of God grew and multiplied and prevailed. Let's read Acts chapter 12, verse 24. And then we're going to read one more verse also. And I will just talk about, you know, a few things about how the word of God prevails and how it sustains itself. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, chapter 12 and verse 24, we are told that the word of God grew, see, and was multiplied, you know, daily. Now, one way that, you know, that came to pass was because of the people yielding themselves to the Lord every day. We're told that daily in the temple and also from house to house, they continued, see, in the apostles' doctrine, you know, and also in breaking of bread and had their fellowship and all that. So they knew how to come together and praise the Lord and hear the word of God and so on and so forth. You know, so the scripture says the word of God grew and multiplied in Acts chapter 12 and verse 24. Well, the word of God is the original seed. Jesus was speaking about a seed in John 12 and 24. And he says, well, there's a way that this seed will multiply. You know, it first you sow it, it must fall in the ground and die. Unless it does that, it abides alone. You know, but then the next thing you know, it's going to bring forth a lot of increase. The word of God always brings forth increase. He was talking also again in another place in the book of Mark chapter 4. He talked about, you know, the kingdom of God, you know, and in many of his sermons, he talked about the kingdom of God. In this one place, he was talking about the kingdom of God is like seed that a man should plant, you know. When he plants it, he doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, how the thing is going to grow. He just does its own thing. Let's read it. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Well, that seed is the word of God. We will see earlier that he said, a sower went out to sow. So that seed is the word of God. You know, he's just called it the word of God himself. Said his seed is the word of God. Well, when you cast that seed in the ground, the man that did it will sleep, rise night and day. Doesn't know how, but the seed should spring forth and grow up by itself. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. God put the blessing in every seed right from the beginning in Genesis. He said, let the seed have the power within itself to reproduce. Hallelujah. After its own kind. Animals after their kind. Birds after their kind. This after its kind. The seed also after its kind. Reproduce. Put the power in it. Well, the word of God also being a seed, according to the parable of the sower, you know, when it is sown in the hearts of men being the ground, well, it is going to grow and it is going to multiply, you know, and it's going to, but, you know, at first it may look like a little something. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But as soon as the planter sees that the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts forth his sickle because the harvest is come. Well, you're not going to harvest anything that's not growing and not multiplying. So the harvesting of the word of God comes after its growth and multiplication. The word of God will grow and will multiply. Acts chapter 19 and verse 20 also tells us that the word of God grew mightily and prevailed. Well, what does it mean for something to prevail? Well, it means to overcome. It means to get a victory. It means to be the victor in the in a tussle or a conflict, you know, and you come out on top, prevail. So the word of God will always prevail. Now take note of that. So if we use the word of God, this is what the Faith Lab series was teaching us. Use the word of God, align yourself with the word of God. It will always prevail. Now, the word of God grew mightily and prevailed. Acts 19 and 20. And there is something that the Lord says. You know, many places the scripture declares, the Lord will say things like this. I am the Lord that made the heaven and the earth and spread abroad everything by myself. We know from Hebrews that, you know, it was the word of God that created all things. Well, God says, you know, I did it by myself, by the word, you know, according to John chapter 1 also. You know, everything was made by the word of God. There is, was nothing made that was made without the word. You know, in him, all things were created. Let's read it. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. The Word was the very God, not some other God. Was the very God himself. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by the Word. And without the Word was not anything made that was made. In the Word was life. And the life was the light of men. And the word, that light shineth in darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Now that word has the power not only to sustain itself, but also to grow, to multiply, and to prevail. What does sustain itself mean? Well, it means once spoken, it's going to carry out its function. According to Isaiah chapter 55, you know, the Lord told us that, look, my thoughts, first of all, are not your thoughts. Thoughts and my ways are not your ways. And then he began to tell them, as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and so on. Now, verse 10 of Isaiah 55 says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, does not return back. He says, but watereth the earth and bringeth, makes the earth to bring forth and bud, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Even so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now, that means the word of God, once it is delivered and spoken, will carry out its mission and it will prevail. And it also has the power within itself to sustain itself. So when the Lord comes upon the scene and says, well, let us cross over to the other side and enters the boat. You know, powerful story that I love to share. And we've shared it many, many times. And you all know the story. Come in there in Mark chapter 4 and says, well, let us pass on to the other side. And as they entered the boat and tried to pass to the other side, well, all kinds of things broke loose. And I call it contradictions against the word. Well, you might call it the word of promise if you are looking for a promise for your situation, like we've been talking about the last two days. You can also call it contradictions against the purpose of God and the will of God for you. And the Lord said, this thing shall be. The enemy said, it shall not be. Comes up against it in so many different ways. But the word of God will prevail. It can sustain itself. Look, they are going to get to the other side because that's what Jesus said. Let us pass over to the other side. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And how they are going to get to the other side is not going to be dependent on the lack of tempest. It's not going to be dependent on the lack of a storm. It's not even going to be dependent on the mastery of the boat captain, that he knows how to navigate the boat. No, it's dependent on the word of God. Jesus said it, let us pass over to the other side. That's it. After that, he dropped the word. He can go and sleep because he knows that the word will sustain itself. You know, the word is self-sustaining. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot say that enough today. Once it is spoken, that's it. Even in the scriptures, we learn in the kingdoms of these people that we saw, Babylonians, Medo-Persians, and so on and so forth, particularly during the time of the Medo-Persians, their culture was such that they knew that once it was done, spoken the word of the king, once it was established, it cannot be reversed. Well, how much more so the word of God? Once it's spoken, you know, it cannot return void. The storms may come, but you just ride out the storm. That's it. Jesus had no intention whatsoever of rebuking any storms. He was just going to go in, lay down a pillow in the back of the boat. He wasn't even in the front looking to make sure, oh, we get there. No, he already spoke the word. He's just going to go to sleep. Praise God. You know, this is the posture that we need to develop. Once you find the promise, we've been talking about it the last 2 days, and you begin to declare it for yourself, that's it. Hallelujah. Whether the word comes out of God's mouth or it comes out of your mouth, if it is spoken exactly like God said it, it's the same. Praise God. If God said it, according to Psalm 68 and verse 11, God gave the word or gives the word, and great is the company that publishes it. Once God speaks it, it's done. Psalm 119 and verse 100, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Well, let it also be settled in your heart. You know that, look, once God has spoken it forth, it doesn't matter what tries to come against it. The word of God will prevail. Hallelujah. It will prevail. Now, that doesn't mean that there will be nothing come up against it, that everything's going to be smooth. No, but it means that whether anything comes up against it or not, it's not going to matter because it will prevail. It always gets, you know, the victory, you know. And you might say, you know, it always has the last laugh, if you want to put it that way. No matter which way it turns, up and down, sideways, either way, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And once it is spoken like that, the Lord said, cannot return void. That void means it gathered nothing. I mean, it came back empty. It couldn't accomplish anything. God said, no, that's not the way it is. Once it goes forth, it accomplishes its purpose. Prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Hallelujah. And so we need to start functioning like that. When you use the word of God, that's it. Use it like that. This is how you master your faith. This is how you grow and increase your faith. You got to learn that it's one, it's not your word, it's God's word. And God's word will sustain itself. So once you find that word and you begin to declare it, remember, the last piece of our faith specs in the SPEC is confessing that word. Once you found the word for the situation, which is this S, and you are persuaded of it, which is the P, and you embrace it for your particular situation, which is the E, you begin to confess it. and you confess it, that means you say what the word says. You testify. You go to the court of law, and they say, well, is it your testimony that such and such? You say, yeah, this is my testimony. And then, you know, each attorney on each side will say, well, the evidence will show that this and this, and so forth. Well, let the evidence always show that you are staying right with the word. Don't give an inch, because the word will sustain itself. All you got to do is repeat his word. Praise God. You know, repeat the word. You know, that's what we do when we teach the word of God. We preach not ourselves. That's the right way to do it. Don't preach about yourself, but you teach the word of God. You know, it's the word of God that holds everything. It's the word of God that has the power to grow, multiply itself. Inside the word of God is the power and the ability to sustain itself. And so, same thing when each of us as individuals will recognize that. Once you get a hold of that scripture, you stay with it. You can go to sleep if you want. Once you've declared it, it is going to happen and it's going to come to pass. Now, whether that's today, tomorrow, the next day, or the next month, well, that remains to be seen. But nonetheless, it's going to come to pass. Now, there are some things that could be immediate, you know, because I mean, many scriptures say immediately, you know, like Jesus would say, take up thy bed and walk, and immediately, you know, and so on. You know, these things will happen, or some things happen like that. Some things, maybe not so immediate. But immediate or not, that doesn't matter. I mean, when Jesus said, let us pass to the other side, they were not at the other side instantaneously. Well, there was one situation in which all the disciples were supernaturally transported at once. Immediately that Jesus got in the boat, scripture says they were immediately on the other side. Well, in this particular case, they were not. Jesus was going to teach them a lesson, you know, of enduring faith, even in the face of storms and so on. Was going to teach them that lesson. That's why he went to sleep. And when they came and woke him up and said, Master, carest thou not that you perish? I mean, that we perish? I mean, why can you be sleeping in such a time like this with all these storms and the boat rocking back and forth and we're about to drown? You're not going to drown. Jesus is in the boat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And not only is he in the boat, he already said he gave the mission. Pass over to the other side. He didn't say, let's go into the middle of the sea and perish there. He said, let us pass over to the other side. You know, and so the word of God will sustain. That word will carry that boat to the other side. That's it. It will carry the boat through the storms. That's why Jesus was amazed, you know, when he saw their panic. And said, why is it that ye are so fearful? How come it is that you have no faith? Now, Jesus was not impressed, was never impressed with little faith or no faith at all. Was never impressed with such things. However, he was always impressed when people have tremendous faith and when they understood how things worked. You know, in the case of this, most of the time, Jesus was never impressed with the disciples as far as their faith. I mean, he was always bending over backwards, trying to hold their hand, teaching them everything. And they were just not getting it. And many times he would be disappointed. Say, why are you so fearful? How come you have no faith? Didn't I say, let us pass over to the other side? And they didn't get it, you know. And so he rebuked the storm for their sake, not for Jesus' sake. Jesus didn't care that there was going to be a storm. Just going to sleep through the storm. Ride out the storm. There are some storms of life. It's not every storm, ladies and gentlemen, that we have to rebuke. Some storms, look, the storm will do its thing and it will pass just like every other storm. You know, and the Lord may reveal that the storm is coming and it may help you to avoid the storm. But even if he did not reveal it, and even if he's not helping you to avoid the storm, if you find yourself in the storm, you must also know that you are passing through. You are not going to perish in the storm. Hallelujah. I mean, there are some people that knew these concepts and they practiced it to where it became part of their lives. I mean, David was a man that knew that. I mean, in his declarations such as, when I pass through, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I mean, even though it's a casual statement, you might think, this principle is embedded in it. Because passing through means you are coming out on the other side. Praise the Lord. I mean, I've said that so many times and I will always say it. You are passing through. You are not going into the valley of the shadow of death. If you go into the valley of the shadow of death, that's a dead end. You may not come out. But when you're passing through, you already know you're coming out on the other side. That's it. The word of God will sustain you and get you through and will bring you out on the other side, and it will prevail and you will be victorious. Praise the Lord. That's it. That's the thing that I want to bring out today. How that the word of God has power. And the reason that it has the power is God has the ability, the capacity. Some of us can say something and we may not have the capacity to back it up or make it happen. Well, God has the capacity. Not only does he have the capacity, he has already seen it play out. So if he tells you, you better believe it, because he already seen it. You know, and not only that, he has legions of angels at his command. One angel can go out and destroy 185,000, you know, soldiers in one night. One angel can do that. So how much more legions of angels? You know, there's a great company that can publish his word. And listen, there is this concept of what God's army, his hosts, will do to make sure the word of God comes to pass. The scripture describes it like this, because it says, that it might be fulfilled. Anytime you see that in the scripture, that it might be fulfilled, it means God already said something and heaven is going to move to make that thing come to pass. Praise the Lord. You know, I mean, God can even raise up, we dealt with this 2 weeks ago. God can even raise up somebody like Cyrus, who didn't know the Lord at all, in order that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled. There's so many things that the Lord can do just to sustain that word. I mean, there are many powerful stories which you have read. Maybe you didn't think of it like that, but next time you read these stories, do think of them like that. You know, that once the word of God is spoken, it could be by the Lord, it could be by a prophet, it could be by you, it could be by whomsoever. You know, once the word of the Lord is spoken like that, it is going to come to pass. And it has the ability to sustain itself. There's a story here that I want to share with you in 2 Kings chapter 7. You know, I mean, yeah. The Syrians and everything, they had besieged the people of God and cut off their supplies and so on. You know, so they set a siege around the city so that the people wouldn't be able to come out. And then there was a very, you know, serious famine because people couldn't get supplies. And so one day, Elisha had enough of all of that. So he come out here in 2 Kings chapter 7, and he says, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." You know, I've had enough of this. "Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel." Now, you know, I'm going to tell you the significance of that in a minute. "And 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." That's what he said. Now, think of it this way. I mean, many of us don't know what a shekel is. We don't know what this means, but there might be things that you know. Think of things you know. The example I like to give is something that's common to all of us, that the prices keep going up, like grocery or gasoline. Gasoline prices at the gas tanks and the gas stations keep going up. So let's say it's $5 a gallon where you live, and this man comes out and says, "By this time tomorrow, gasoline will be sold everywhere in this city. Now, currently it's $5 a gallon, right? And he comes out and says, by this time tomorrow, gasoline will be sold everywhere in this city for a nickel per gallon. I mean, that's the significance of what he was saying. I mean, you know, it's like, my goodness, something we're buying for $5 a gallon now, tomorrow it's going to be sold for a nickel. You know, well, you know, there was a man there, the chief of army staff, you know, of the king. He said, look, so he says to the man of God, now, what is this nonsense? I mean, you've seen the situation around us. This thing cannot be. Even if the Lord would open windows in heaven. Now, ladies and gentlemen, imagine the audacity of this man to call God out like that, to say, even if the Lord opened windows in heaven, this thing cannot be, because of we've been in this dire situation for months. Now you're going to tell us that overnight, this thing will change to such a surplus. And the man of God said to him, well, you know, unfortunately for you, the word of God will sustain itself. It will happen as said, but you will only, you know, see it, but you won't benefit from it. Now, so, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we are the ones that stand to lose when you don't believe the word of God. The word of God will come to pass anyway. Now, if you don't believe it, well, you know, you're the one that's going to miss out. And as the story went, in order for this word to be fulfilled, in order for this word that the man of God spoke to be performed and, you know, come out like he said it, God had to do something unimaginable. But only unimaginable to us. It was unimaginable to this chief of army here that said, well, it can be. It was unimaginable to him. Unimaginable when you read the story. But, you know, those are the ways of God. God's already said the word. It doesn't matter. It's going to come to pass. Now, there were four lepers, you know, that were sitting at the gate. You know, because they were lepers, usually, you know, they're outside the gate, you know. And then when they believe they're healed, they have to go show themselves to the priest and so on. So, these lepers said to one another, look, we can sit here all day and we can die. You know, or we can go into the city, take a chance. If we go into the city, we're going to die there too, because the city, there's famine all over the place. Or we can take a chance and go to the host of the Syrians. Maybe they'll take us as slaves, capture us alive, and we'll still have some food. One thing we know is we stay here, we're going to die. We go to the city, we're going to die. But there's one unknown. This one is unknown. Maybe we'll die, maybe not. So let's take a chance on the unknown. These things begin to come in the minds of these people. Why? It's because of the word that Elisha spoke. Already said it. He dropped it and that's it. And because of that, you know, God began to do these things. I mean, there's no extent to which God cannot go in order for his word to be fulfilled. And we see that when they rose up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians, they found out there was nobody there. What happened? The Lord did something incredible. He put a delusionary spirit on all the armies of Syria who were in the camp. He magnified the footsteps of just four lepers coming. They were just four lepers. I mean, what kind of sound can their footsteps produce? But the Lord magnified those footsteps to sound like thunderous hoofs of chariots and horses, of thousands of chariots coming. And he put a delusionary spirit upon everybody in the camp of the Syrians. And they were hearing this thing. It wasn't just one person hearing it. They were all hearing thunderous. Just four lepers that were just coming. In fact, they were scared, but they didn't know what they were going to read. But their footsteps on the ground was sounding to the camp of the armies of the Syrians as though it was thunderous chariots and horses and things coming. And they fled. They fled. Now, so this is an aspect of that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled. And when they got there, they found that they had all fallen. My goodness, everybody had fled and they left all their, you know, goodies. And so they went to one camp, they found something, they went to another, they found something, they took it, they went and hid it, they ate, they drank. They said, this is not good. Let's not keep this news to ourselves. Let's go and tell the king that something has happened here because everybody, you know, suffering in the city. So they went back and told, you know, because if we don't tell, some evil might befall us. And they went back and told. Now, in the meantime, when the word was broadcasted, there was a mad stampede. Everybody started rushing out to go to the camp because they wanted to take their part of the spoils. And so the king appointed this same man, this same chief of army staff or whoever, that had said this thing cannot come to pass, to try to control the crowd. You stand over there and control the crowd. And he was trying to control the crowd, but in the mad stampede, they pushed him down, they stomped over him, they trampled him down, and the mad rush, you know, the pressure and everything of people stamping upon him, his heart collapsed, and he died, that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled, which Elisha spoke, saying, number one, there were two parts of it. There's going to be so much supply. When these people went, and normally for them to sell things, they had to go buy the things and then sell. This time around, they were getting the supplies for free. And anybody that didn't, you know, get any particular supply, there was a lot of trade by barter going on. Look, they were able to come in there and just get things for cheap because the supply was free. You know, they spent no money getting it so they could sell it for very little price. And so the prophecy of how things will be sold so cheaply came to pass. The second part of the prophecy or the pronunciation against the man that, you know, taunted God was that, well, it'll happen, but you won't taste of it. And that also happened exactly like that. Read the whole chapter, you'll see it. And that's that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled. Once the word of God is spoken, well, if it's spoken for good, it'll be fulfilled. If it's spoken for evil, it'll be fulfilled as well. If the Lord pronounces it, we say, look, at what instant I choose to bless a nation because they are following my ways. And if that nation will then turn aside and begin to dismiss the word of God, well, he said, well, I'll repent me of the good that I thought to do to them, and I'll bring evil upon them. Ladies and gentlemen, America needs to repent, because this nation was a beloved nation. God put a blessing on this nation. But this nation has turned its back against the Lord. So they need to repent, because the Lord might withdraw the grace. You know, so, but once the word is spoken, it will come to pass and it will sustain itself. So that's the story and that's the lesson today. That's the part about prevailing. And it's also the part about God's word having the ability to sustain itself. You know, and the Lord, there was a story, you know, that we saw. You know, we saw this story in 1 Kings chapter 22, in different places, but in this 1 Kings chapter 22, you know, we see where, you know, this king, this wicked king Ahab, is trying to go and get another colony, which is called Ramoth in Gilead. They're trying to annex it. And so he calls his prophets together and says, well, shall I go up? Shall I go and take this place? Yeah, everybody say, yeah, go up. The Lord will give it unto you. So he speaks to Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. Ahab was king of Israel. So Joshua said to him, look, we are brothers. Will you go with me to battle? And Joshua said, well, yeah, of course, you know, my people are yours. You know, let's go, you know, I'll help you. So, however, you know, let's inquire at the hand of the Lord or the mouth of the Lord. And so they, you know, well, Ahab called all his prophets together and they all prophesied one thing. He said, go up and prosper and the Lord will give it into your hand. You know, I mean, 400 men, they spoke the same thing. But yet this Jehoshaphat, there must be a discerning spirit upon him. Maybe he already knew that these were lying prophets anyway. I don't know how he discerned it, but he was not convinced. He said, look, I want to hear from somebody else. You know, I mean, 400 people, are you kidding? The scripture says two or three. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, so by the time two or three of them said it, it should have been done. End of story. Two people have confirmed it. But Jehoshaphat said, no, I don't know about these people. There's something weird about these people. Get me another prophet of the Lord besides this. Well, the king of Israel says, well, you know, I mean, these are the people that's on my side. But there's one guy, he's kind of weird. You know, he never says any good thing about me. He's always prophesying evil. You know, he's always hiding out in the different places and so on. Well, Joshua said, let not the king say so. Go call him. I want to hear him. You know, so they sent and called for Micaiah, is what he's called, the son of Imlah. And they said to him, look, all the 400 prophets have said this thing. So when you come here, you say the same thing. The man said, look, I will say no such thing and I will do no such thing. What the Lord puts in my mouth, I will speak. So as he's going, the Lord shows him the vision of everything. So he comes there and he says, you know, puts a tongue in his cheek and say, yeah, go up and prevail. The man realized that he's messing with him. He says, well, haven't I told you, always tell me the truth in the word of God? You know, Micah says, you can't handle the truth. You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. Because look, I saw all Israel as sheep without a shepherd. I say, see, I told you. You'll never tell me something good. He said, no, hold on. Let him finish. Joshua said, let the man finish. I want to hear it. He said, look, I saw the Lord sitting down and having a council meeting. And the Lord says, who is going to go down there and make sure Ahab perishes? That's right. You say, that kind of thing can happen? Well, he did. And then one spirit came up, said, I'll do this. He said, well, nah. Another one said, I'll do this. And, The one said, look, well, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And I said, that's good. You go and do it and see to it. And so he said, the Lord had put all these inside the mouth of all of Israel's prophets. God had put a lying spirit and you don't know it. God showed it to me. And they're lying to you in order for you to go and perish. Just like the word of Elijah. You go and perish. So the rest of the story confirms it. But what am I bringing out of this story? From this story, even though in this case it was negative, we see that the Lord might have a council meeting in heaven and say, now I see my daughter there, down there. She's believing for something, but I'm waiting for her to start declaring my word. Now, the moment you now start declaring that word, her Lord said, ha-ha. Now, who's going to go down there and make sure it happens? Look, they will jump out. Those angels that have been assigned to make sure things work out for you. Every time God gives command, every one of them is trying to be the one to go out and publish it. They say, I will do it. And the Lord said, okay, you go down there and see to it that what she's believing and declaring for my word will come to pass. And so they will go out there and they will make situations. In order for the word of God to come to pass, those angels can go out there and even make some things happen that look like initially it's rough. But they know what they're doing. They're skilled. They've been around for thousands of years, you know, and they know how to do things and make things happen. And they'll see to it. And God said, well, you see to it. And when you finish, you come and give me a report. And then they come back and say, all is at rest concerning your daughter. I've gone to and fro. It is well. Praise God. Well, at the time the angel comes, you can read it in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 11. At the time they come and give report to the Lord and say, all is at rest and all is well. Well, if you really look carefully, you will see that all is not at rest and all is not well. Things are still going wrong. But these angels, they've done their work. They've set things in motion and they're gone. Just like the Lord. He said it, put it in motion, can go and sleep. And it is going to come to pass. And so, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you right now, you know, the angels of the Lord that are sent forth as ministering spirits on the behalf of the elect and on your behalf, they've already gone to and fro throughout all the earth. They've checked it out. They scoped it out. Hallelujah. You know, and they said, look, and they've put things in motion and it is done. They've done their duty and they go back and report to the Lord. It is good. And you say, well, you know, I don't see that it's good. Yeah, it is good. You have to see like they see. You know, you got to see how they see. Same thing in Isaiah chapter 6. I mean, these angelic beings, they are reporting the whole, holy, 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 holy. The whole earth is full of the glory of God. I wonder, the whole earth is not full of the glory of God. I mean, there's all kinds of wickedness happening. Why are you reporting that the whole earth is full of glory of God? Because in the realm in which they function, that's how things are. And we need to elevate ourselves from this level of thorns and so forth, move to the level of the roses. Hallelujah. You can see only the thorns. You can see only the struggles that you are going through right now. But you can also choose to see the beauty of the Lord. You can choose to say it is well. Even when your son is dead, the woman said it is well. The boy is already dead, but she keeps saying it's well. Well, because she's going to elevate herself into a realm. And we can do the same. You can elevate yourself. This way, look, it is well. All is at rest. We put things in place. So ladies and gentlemen, things have already been put in place. The word of God will sustain itself on your behalf and it will prevail for you. Hallelujah. So don't worry about it. You know, whether it is today or tomorrow, it is going to happen. It will come to pass that it might be fulfilled. You know, what the Lord has already said, and it shall come to pass. Scriptures always say those phrases. And what did Jesus say? How did Jesus teach that to the disciples? He said, look, you know, there are different times in your life and different places where you might be at different zones and different times. At the time that you are praying, Jesus taught them. You can read this teaching that he gave them in the book of Mark chapter 11. He said, look, at the time that you are praying, that's when you believe. Believe at the moment that you are praying. You know, here's how he said it. After telling them that you should declare the word, don't doubt it, but believe it in your heart, you shall have whatever you say. You shall have. You declare and you shall have. The you shall have part, well, it can be today, it can be tomorrow, but the word of God will sustain itself. Here's how he put it. He says, I say to you, verily, whoever among you will say to this mountain, he's looking at some mountain. I don't know, it's Mount Olivet or whatever. He's looking at something. He's looking at some mountain and say, look, if you will say to this mountain, be thou removed, and will not doubt those things in your heart, but you believe that what you say will come to pass, it shall come to pass. And you shall have whatsoever you say. Now, you say it now, but you shall have it later. Hallelujah. So he tells them, he said, look, let me tell it to you again this way. What things soever you desire. This is verse 24 of Mark 11. What things soever you desire. When you pray. Now, faith is now. At the time of prayer is when you exercise your faith. Right? At the time you pray, believe. and you will receive, and you shall have them. So exercise your faith in the word of God. Faith will see that promise, and that believing will get you there. And the you shall have them can be future. It can be next week. It can be take a few months. You know, my prayer is that it will not be delayed. But even if it takes a few weeks, a few days, a few months, stay right there. It shall come to pass. The word of God will eventually prevail. It will be done. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's our lesson today. This word, once spoken, and look, Jesus said, you know, did not the scripture call you gods? You to whom the word of God came? I mean, and he said, look, if the word of God calls people to whom God sent his word, call them gods, small g. You suppose that it is something unimaginable that I, being the word of God, should be called the son of God? They didn't understand what he was talking about. Listen, when you are speaking the word of God like he said it, you are called the oracles of God. Hallelujah. You declare it just like he said it. That's it. It'll come to pass. Just like that. I encourage everybody to get my book called The Principles of the Oracles of God. Those of you that came to Arizona, you got it. And, but it's, I said, how can I get it? Well, it's on Amazon Publishing. You can find it there. Now, the oracles of God. What is an oracle? Oracle is like, you know, it never fails, you know. It just, it pronounces something and it'll come to pass. So we call oracles. Yeah. So now, how do we make that happen for us? Well, we speak the word and you go through the process. You stay right there. You don't doubt it, but you confess it. And when you are confessing the word of God, it's not just by word alone. Your words and your actions must tally. You can't be saying one thing and doing the opposite. So when you are confessing the word of God, your actions are also following. And in the back of your mind, you know this, that the word of God will sustain itself. I know this. Do you know it? Paul said, I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? That was Paul's testimony. But what is your testimony concerning the word of God? Do you know that the word of God has the power within itself to sustain itself, even though you have declared it, you're believing it, and yet it looks like it's not coming to pass? It will come to pass. Yeah. Here is my admonition to you when that is happening. What must you do in a case like that? Well, you got to stay upon the word of God. Stay right there. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10 will tell you. You know, I mean, you're doing the will of God. You're declaring the word of God. You are believing God. And yet it seems like there is no light coming your way. I mean, it seems like you're still in the night. Remember, we are promised that the day will break. Sorrow may endure for a night. Psalm 30 and verse 5. But in your case, it looks like it's enduring for more than one night. Or your night is longer. I mean, it's like, look, I've been waiting and waiting. Just do this already. Well, you know, that's not for us to know. One thing I know is, I may not know the timing of exactly how, but I know the outcome. The outcome is guaranteed. The word of God will sustain itself and it will, you know, be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. Because he'll always say that it might be fulfilled. He will do certain things in order for it to cause it to come to pass. So here's what the scripture suggests, not suggests actually, commands that you do. Hallelujah. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, verse 10, it says, who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant? I mean, you are fearing the Lord, you're obeying His word, you're doing the thing that the Lord tells you to do, and yet you're walking in darkness and you have no light. I mean, when we're in darkness, that's when we are sad and, you know, the answer is not coming. That's darkness in the day of adversity. That's what it is, you know, and yet you have no light, yet you declare the word of God. What do you do then? Stay with the Lord. You say, trust in the name of the Lord, because His name is at stake. His name is His reputation. It's at stake. And stay upon your God. He will not fail thee. Deuteronomy 31 verses 6 and 8 tells you, remember the Lord thy God. He it is that doth go with you. He will not fail you. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to pray over the room and I'm going to say to you this morning, remember the word of the Lord. It will not fail you. Remember that the word of the Lord will sustain itself and it will prevail for you. That's right. No matter all the circumstances that try to come against the word of God, I call them contradictions against the word of promise. No matter which way they come, the storms, the tempests that try to blow your boat away because the Lord gave you a word, no matter what, that word will sustain itself. Hallelujah. Father, I pray over the room this morning that we will have this understanding of the self-sustaining word of God, the ability within the word of God to sustain itself, the ability within the word of God to prevail over the storms and the crises that we have in our lives as we keep declaring the word of God. So you must keep declaring that word and it will prevail. Eventually, it will prevail. And though it tarry, wait for it. Do not tarry long. Lord, I pray, oh my God, make no tarrying any longer for the people of God. Even as Ezekiel declared in your word, Ezekiel 12, 25 and 28 says, my word shall no longer be delayed or prolonged. But now I will cause it to come to pass. Now, for everyone that's in the room right now or listening later on, that is believing God and going through, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, courage and encouragement come to them. The Bible says, when men are cast down, you say there's a lifting up. Let there be a lifting up in the hearts of the people today to know that the word of God will prevail for them. No matter how long it takes, the word of God to Joseph is that you will rule over your brethren. They will make obeisance to you. And no matter all the things that happened to the contrary, that word will eventually sustain itself. And it will prevail. And everything else that happened to Joseph, all the negative things, were just destiny helpers, helping to push him closer and closer to his destiny. So, may the Lord cause destiny helpers rise on your behalf. Even the would-be destiny destroyers, they will become unwillingly destiny helpers for you, because the word of God will prevail. What the devil meant for evil through the wife of Potiphar, framing Joseph for a crime he did not commit, causing him to be sent to prison, was the doorway to him having the ability eventually to stand before Pharaoh. That led to that. And so, Lord, for everyone that's believing you on here today, may we together stand firm. He said, let him trust in the Lord his God and let him stay upon his God. May we trust in the Lord and may we stay upon the Lord, and he will not fail you. I will be with you, he said, when you pass through the fire, Isaiah 43:2. I will be with you. When you pass through the floods, they will not overwhelm you. You are passing through. Only passing through. You're coming out on the other side. Now God bless everyone and bless this word in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.